why should we make God's glory the goal of all that we do? Why was Bach right to write, "Help me, Jesus," and "To God alone be glory" on all of his compositions? Why should we work and create and live for that same end? And we're going to answer that question by turning to the book of Revelation. For the book of Revelation has much to say about the glory of God. From it, we're going to list five answers to our question. I will seek to keep each answer concise. Answer number one is this: God is glorious. Why should we make God's glory the goal of all we do? Because God is glorious. We find the answer in Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. The passage says, "And around the throne, and on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" That unceasing statement by the four living creatures, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come," is a statement about the intrinsic glory of God. The truth that he is glorious and he receives glory in and of himself. I'll take us to a few other passages to show us that. The first passage I'm going to take us to is the only other passage in the Bible in which we hear that threefold repetition, "Holy, holy, holy," to describe God. The passage is Isaiah chapter 6. In this passage, Isaiah sees a vision of God. He sees the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up. And in the vision, he sees and hears seraphim say, quote, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And notice what else they say: "The whole earth is full of his glory." To be holy is to be separated from that which is common. And our triune God is separated from all things because he is the uncreated source of all things, and he is the sustainer of all things. He is the beginning and he is the end. Now look at the Revelation passage now along with the Isaiah passage. In Revelation we are told, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." The fact that he has always been and will always be makes him different than everything else, other than everything else. It makes him holy. He is uncreated. Everything else is created. There is nothing like him. And he, therefore, is intrinsically glorious. The earth is full of his glory because of who he is. The two statements are declaring the same truth. Concerning this truth, I want to read to you an interesting statement made by Jesus. In John chapter 17, we hear Jesus praying on the night before his crucifixion. We call this his high priestly prayer. And this is part of his prayer, quote, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Note those last words. The glory that I had with you before the world existed. There has always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the persons of the Trinity have always been glorious and have always glorified each other. You can ponder that statement a long time and I don't think comprehend its full beauty. What we can say from this statement is this: God did not need to create anything to be glorious or to receive glory. Our triune God is intrinsically glorious. He is holy, holy, holy. That is one reason we should make His glory the goal of all that we do. It is simply wise and right to do so. That is our first answer tonight. And again, we see that answer in Revelation 4, verses 6 through 8. Now, we're going to move to the very next verses of Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. And we're going to note now a second reason that is related but different. Namely, God created all things. He created all things. Listen to the text with me. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created." We very clearly see here that we should make God's glory our goal because He did the work of creation. He created all things. He Himself is uncreated. He is glorious in Himself. That's what we just learned under point number one. And here we are told He created all things. He deserves glory for doing that work. I will remind us that we know from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis, that He created all things very good. Therefore, everything that is beautiful, everything that is life-giving, everything that is pleasant, it all comes from God. That is why James says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. There is nothing good in this world apart from God the Creator. God unquestionably deserves all glory for that reason. I will emphasize this second answer by saying this: when a person designs and then brings into existence an amazing construction, like a bridge or a skyscraper, we honor them. We give them glory for their creative work. When a person creates a beautiful work of art by painting a canvas or by carving stone, or by painting a ceiling like the Sistine Chapel, we honor them. We give them glory. When a person figures out something new in farming in order to help produce more food for the world, think of self-pollinating almond trees or a machine to shake the trees. Well, we honor them. We give them glory for their work. When a composer brings into existence emotional, magnificent music, we honor them, we give them glory. Now, with that in mind, think about this. Since God created all things, including the people who create bridges and skyscrapers and paintings and farms and music, that means God deserves all the glory. Everything good ultimately comes from Him. Therefore, He should be the ultimate receiver of all the glory. So Johann Bach, a creative composer, was wise, was correct to write SDG on the bottom of his compositions. For Bach was saying, the glory given to me for my music, it should not rest on me. No, it must be passed on to God. To God alone be glory. We should learn from Bach. We should also live and work and create for God's glory alone, because He is the creator of all things. That's answer number two. Now, a third answer we learn from the book of Revelation is this. We should make God's glory the goal of all that we do because He has provided our costly, complete salvation. Our costly, complete salvation. Listen to Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. And when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are You to take the scroll and to open its seals, for You were slain, and by Your blood You ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." In the words declared by the creatures and elders and angels, we hear that God has provided our salvation at a cost we can't even fathom. Jesus, the Son of God, of one essence with God, became a man to shed His blood and nail our sins to the cross. His cry on the cross, my God, why have You forsaken me? Is another reality we can't fully comprehend. What a sacrifice to make. What a cost borne by Him. My God, why have You forsaken me? God deserves all glory for providing us a salvation at that unfathomable cost. There's nothing that has ever cost so much. And He also deserves glory, because that costly salvation is a complete salvation. Christ did everything necessary for our salvation. He ransomed people for God completely. He paid the whole cost. He didn't do part of the work. He did the complete work so that nothing needs to be added to what Christ did. This truth is what three of the other solas emphasize. We are justified by grace alone, meaning we did not deserve anything from God. God did not look at us and say, "Well, you deserve to be saved because you are such a good person." No, we were all dead in our sins. We were all rightly under God's just wrath. So the entirety of our salvation flows from grace, grace alone. And we are saved by Christ alone, which is what I was just talking about. Christ didn't merely do some of the work to save us. No, He didn't merely give us a helping hand to save us. He didn't merely pay part of the cost to save us, leaving us to add some work or add some more cost to this. No, He did all of the work that was necessary to justly save us. Christ alone did that. And we receive what Christ did through faith alone, a faith which is given to us as a gift. A verse we all likely know well is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." We didn't create faith in our own hearts and minds. We didn't conjure up faith by our efforts, by our intellect, by our study. No, it was a gift. And through that faith, the gracious, complete work of Christ was given to us. Therefore, Christ alone deserves all the glory. If we were saved by Christ plus our good works, which is theology the reformers were battling, If we added to what Christ did for us to bring about the completeness of our salvation, then Christ would deserve the majority of the glory, but not all of the glory. There would be a smidgen of glory there for us because we added to his work. But that theology is wrong. There isn't any part we play. Christ did everything. He even gives us the gift of faith. Therefore, he alone deserves the glory. That is answer number three. Now, a fourth answer we learn from the book of Revelation is a little different. I'll word it this way. We should make God's glory the goal of all that we do because God will be glorified through us. God will be glorified through us. Whether we live for his glory or not, God will be glorified through us. He will be glorified through all people in one of two ways. We see the two ways in Revelation 19. First, I'll read verses 1 through 3. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality, and has avenged on her the blood of his servants." Once more they cried out, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." In this passage, we are seeing the condemnation of all unbelievers. The prostitute represents the world, which lures people away from Christ. Once you join the prostitute, well, you are part of the prostitute. So this is the destruction of all unbelievers. And notice that they are not annihilated. They are not consumed and gone. We are told the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. That is a picture of the eternal punishment of hell. When we read this passage, we easily shudder at the thought of this punishment. This is a terrible, horrific end. We don't like to think of any person going to that eternal punishment. But in this vision and revelation, what we see is that when we are with Jesus, when we who are believers are with Jesus, we will give him glory for the punishment he pours out. We shall shout, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." Now, that's hard to comprehend. But at that time, when we are made glorious with our Lord, when we are glorified, then we will know that God's judgment is perfect and just. And we will give him glory for that reason. And in that way, unbelievers will bring him glory. No one escapes bringing God the glory he is due. No one escapes that. Even those sent to hell will, in the end, via their eternal just punishment, bring him glory, for he deserves it. He's due it. And that, of course, is not a wise way to bring him glory. We should want to bring Him glory by knowing and enjoying the costly, complete salvation He gives. And we see in this passage that way of bringing Him glory as well. Verses 6 through 8 say, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure.'" This passage is a contrast with the other passage. Whereas the world, the unbelievers, are pictured as the prostitute, believers are pictured as the bride of Christ. And here we see Christ receiving glory through them. That, of course, is the wise way to give Christ glory for all eternity, which means we should give Him glory now. Right now, we should repent and turn to Him as Lord and Savior. Right now, we should see His glory. We should want to be part of His glory. We should want to proclaim His glory all over this world. And so, if you have never repented of your sins and turned in faith to Jesus for His great salvation, I hope and pray you will do so right now. Don't delay. Today is the day of salvation. Bring Him glory now. Turn to Him. Know Him as your Lord and Savior. We should give glory to God in this life, because in the next life, we will. One way or another, we will give Him glory. Much better to give Him glory as His bride. That's answer number 4. And I will close now with a 5th answer. We should make His glory the goal of all that we do, for we will enjoy His glory forever. We who are believers, we will enjoy His glory forever. We see this in Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. Quote, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb." The sun that warms our earth and gives us light, it is very bright, isn't it? And it is glorious in that way. But the one who created our sun is infinitely more glorious. There is no beauty in this current world, no brightness in this current world that can compare to Him, to His glory. The most beautiful sunset, the most beautiful sunrise, the most beautiful night sky with millions of stars shining brightly. It is nothing compared to His glory. And we will enjoy it forever. That future assuredly belongs to God's people. COVID cannot keep us from that future. Wars in this world cannot keep us from that future. Failed politics cannot keep us from that future. No power, no event can keep us from that future. We are going to enjoy God's bright, shining glory forever and ever and ever. Therefore, we should live for His glory in all that we do. Bach was wise to sign his compositions SDG, and we would be wise to practice what he did. So consider doing this. At the end of each day, before you go to sleep, think about what you were able to accomplish that day. And then sign in your mind, S-D-G. Pray, Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone, to God, you alone, be the glory for what I was able to do this day by your grace, by your power, by your mercy. And right now I ask you to give him glory with me. The tune we're going to sing right now to his glory. And the tune we are going to sing was written by Bach. Here's a tune by Bach. The hymn is called "The Heavens Declare Your Glory for the Glory of God Alone." Let's stand and sing in response to his holy word. Let's stand.